Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts in union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they are. So let us proceed in peace. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to call this morning's adjourned September meeting for Tuesday, December 17th at 9 a.m. to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Sussage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Gangler?
Here.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Grader?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, if there are no additional corrections, we have a motion. Well, actually, I need to pop out one of the, you know which one it is? For PBZ? Pop consent.
E?
Item 7E, we need to move under, we'll create a PBZ item D. If you would make that motion.
So, motion to, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda moving item 7D from consent to create 12D PBZ report under standing committee report.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, second by Hendricks. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Now, under special recognition, the first up, I would like to recognize the University of Illinois Extension. And thank you for the treat this morning.
I know.
I am Diane Morris. I am Executive Director of the Kendall County 4-H Foundation. I do that in as a volunteer. Also here today is Linda Fitzgerald, who's been a 4-H leader, past employee of Extension. And we just wanted to come this morning and just thank you once again for all the support that you give Extension in 4-H. We have a new director, Deanna Roby, I believe you've met her, and it's been a very smooth transition because she has been here before in Kendall County, and we are very happy to have her. And we just wanted to give you a little homemade treat of some cookies from the staff, and again, thank you, and have a wonderful holiday season and a new year. We look forward to meeting with all of you once again.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. We appreciate all you do for the county as well. And I know, Member Kellogg, you're an alum of the 4-H side, right?
Me too.
Yeah, and Member Vickers as well. So, we continue to have a presence of 4-H leaders on the board here, and I think that's important for the county. So, thank you. We really appreciate it. Next up, I would like to recognize a couple of our high achievers in Kendall County. We have several students that are here that both achieved perfect scores of 36 on the ACT test. Our future leaders here in the county, and we'll hope you'll go off to school and come back and be future leaders here for us here. So the first one I'd like to recognize is Christine, is it Corpus?
Corpus. Yes.
Corpus. Oswego East high school senior earned a perfect 36 composite score on the ACT exam, a first in Oswego SD 308 school history. So, thank you.
Wow.
Congratulations. Christine has a 4.7 GPA at Oswego East, has played basketball for all 4 years of high school, has been part of the Girls Who Code Key Club, which Member Vickers also is part of. Asian Student Association, National Honor Society, Honor Societies for Math, Science, and Spanish, and as a leader for Freshman Seminar. After graduation, Christine will be attending John Hopkins University, where she will play NCAA D3 women's basketball. Christine plans to major in biology or neuroscience on a pre-med track with a future goal of becoming an orthopedic or sports medicine physician. Congratulations, Christine.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I'd like to do as well. And it says congratulations to Christine Corpus, Oswego East High School senior for achieving a perfect score of 36 on the ACT test, presented the 17th day of December at Pender County High School. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I should have had your folks and Dr. Sparling come on, Paul Taylor. Next up, I would like to recognize Eric, I'm going to mess up your last name,
Drolley.
Eric Drolley, Oswego high school senior, earned a perfect 36 composite score on the ACT exam, making him part of an elite group of less than 0.2% of ACT test takers, earning a perfect score.
Wow.
Great job. Eric has been an SD 308 student since kindergarten, attending Old Post Thompson OHS. He's been involved in the band program since sixth grade as a tuba player. At OHS, Eric has been a four-year member of Jazz Band 1, where he plays the upright bass, and this year he played tuba in the marching band. Outside of school, Eric plays guitar, electric bass, upright bass, and is currently learning the keyboard. I'm noticing a theme here.
Yeah.
Eric auditioned and was accepted in the Illinois Music Educators Association District Band. That sounds like the right way. The right thing. In 2018 and 19, Eric's love of music will follow him to college, where he's hoping to pursue a minor in music composition. Additional accomplishments and recognition include Tri-M Honor Society, National Honor Society, Mu Alpha Theta applicant, Illinois State Scholar. Extracurricular activities include the German Club, Dungeons and Dragons Club, and part-time employment at Hicks Brothers Music. Future plans include attending either Iowa State University or U of I Champaign-Urbana with an interest in engineering. It's widely known that Eric is one of the most respectful, kind, and humble students of SD 308. Congratulations, Eric.
Thank you.
Once again, you've also made Kendall County very proud of you. Yeah.
Go for the muff over there.
Oh, I know.
The newspaper buzzer.
All right, I know you're right around the camera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
One more thing, and then we'll take a quick break. You're all welcome to come upstairs to the third floor, where we have we're gonna have some treats up there as well. And I'm a little bit intimidated to continue this meeting with all these very smart people in the room.
Right.
So the next item that I'd like to recognize, we actually passed this resolution on November 25th, but we're able to have are you the president of the food pantry? Is that the official?
Chairman of the food pantry board.
Chairman of the food pantry board. So we have a resolution declaring December of 2019 as Kendall County Food Pantry Awareness Month. And I'll just take a quick second here to read our resolution. Whereas the problem of hunger is a worldwide problem, and whereas the problem of hunger exists within Kendall County, and whereas the Kendall County Food Pantry was established in 1983 in order to provide food to residents of Kendall County that are unable to afford to purchase food for their families, and whereas the Kendall County Food Pantry is operated by a volunteer staff with no paid employees, and whereas over 50,000 families consisting of over 100,000 people have been served by the Kendall County Food Pantry since its inception, and within the last year, the Kendall County Food Pantry has served over 7,000 families, and whereas while national concerns and worldwide problems concern all Americans, the problem of hunger and inadequate food for local citizens of Kendall County remains, and it is the right and obligation of all citizens of Kendall County to help alleviate hunger on a local basis. And whereas it's the intention of Kendall County Board to increase the awareness of Kendall County residents to the existence of the Kendall County Food Pantry, to recognize and support the Kendall County Food Pantry and its volunteers, and further to encourage the donation of food to the Kendall County Food Pantry by all residents of Kendall County that are able to contribute to said cause. And I'm going to pause there for a minute because I'll let you give a commercial. I think it's, for every $1 you get, you can get $6 in food?
Yeah, it's actually up to $8. We can actually turn each dollar into about $8 in deliverables to clients. It's just amazing.
So you appreciate the donation of food, but dollars?
Oh, we always take food, but cash, we can just do more with it because of the way the Illinois system is structured and the way the feds feed discount items through the system.
And be it hereby resolved that the Kendall County Board does hereby declare that December 2019 shall be Kendall County Food Pantry Month. Be it further resolved that all residents of Kendall County are asked to contribute non-perishable food items or make a monetary donation to the Kendall County Food Pantry. Be it further resolved that residents of Kendall County may donate items at the Kendall County Courthouse, Public Safety Center, Health and Human Services Building, County Highway Building, or County Office Building during normal business hours. Passed and adopted by the County Board of Kendall on the 25th day of November. So thank you, Greg. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I really appreciate the board and all the support that you've given us. You mentioned at least three times about the encouragement of the residents to support the pantry. We have something over 2,500 individual donors that are in the system that give everywhere from several thousand dollars down to $15 a month. So we use all of that. I mean, it's a grassroots operation. There are no gigantic legacy type donations that come into the pantry. So it's about the community bringing food and clothes and coats. I mean, it's the most wonderful organization I've ever been a part of, just because there are so many people involved. We still have a little over 1,000 families in our database that visit the pantry regularly, and they are all of our neighbors. These are not one segment of the population. It's all of us with a little blip in our family that comes from medical or losing a job or whatever. Every one of us could be over there. It's really an enjoyable place. We have 106 people on the volunteer list that are regulars. So it takes an army of caring people to make it happen, and then things like you and promoting it is just wonderful. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate you all you do for the county as
Thanks,
well.
Chairman.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah.
You want to take us back with you as well?
Yes.
Where'd Jim go?
I thought you'd stand them out. Make a public comment. Come on up and just say your name, and you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Christy Tyler, and I'm here to represent Oswego School District in my role as their chief financial officer, and I'd like to address the board on land cash fees. I understand that land value is used in calculating an appropriate land cash fee, and because land values change over time, it is important and fair to update appraisals on vacant land and adjust the fee accordingly. However, I'm asking you to pause and consider some things. I'm asking you to consider that the value of an unimproved acre of land within School District 308's boundaries is almost three times the value of a parcel in Newark School District's boundaries. I'm asking you to consider that close to 51% of the county's EAV is within the School District 308's boundaries. I'm asking you to consider whether a district should be harmed by significantly lower land values in other areas in the county. And finally, I'm asking you to consider using the land values from each of the townships to calculate a fee that represents those values for each school district. As you know, land in Oswego School District has been appraised at the highest value in the county. Using a weighted average to calculate a countywide fee lowers what our district could collect in much-needed revenue to provide educational services to new students before the property is fully improved and hits our tax rolls. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Did you need me to sign something?
Is there a
no?
Any other public comment? All right, let's let the record show there's no one, and we're going to take about a 10-minute break. And all of you are welcome to join us upstairs in the third floor. As I said, the gallery got us some treats to enjoy. So thank you, and thanks to all of you that have come out so far.
Valerie brings
this. Getting back to work. And may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as written with item E removed?
So moved. And a second.
Okay, motion by Prochaska,
seconded
by Hendricks. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gengler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes. Old business? New business? Elected official reports and other department reports. Sheriff Baird. Morning.
Good morning, sir. First of all, Merry Christmas to the board, and I probably won't see you until after the new year. I just have one announcement. Our new canine, the Bloodhound, is he got back on the weekend from his training. No, the name is Rizzo, was drawn. So he's back and fully operational. I hope to get him here to meet the board. He is very lovable and friendly. But he's got a really great nose, and so we'll be able to call him out for tracking purposes and stuff like that.
So in front of the board?
I know. I was like, yeah, don't bring him here.
It's only for tracking lost individuals. It's not a narcotics dog or a personal protection dog. So we have another one of those. So otherwise, do you have any questions about the sheriff's office?
Questions for the sheriff?
All right.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
County clerk.
My revenue report is in the packet. We have begun to start putting election information on the website, candidate list, the vote by mail application. So as things come up, we will be continuing to add items to the website. The accounts payable munis system was quite the ordeal. But we were able to print checks. We went live on the 6th. It took 10 days for them to help us run a check run. We were able to do that on Monday. So we were printing checks, mailing them out, working on some of the reports. I'm talking with Mr. Kellogg about what you guys would like to see on the report. So we will be working that out. You do have one on your desk, so it might not be the way you like it right now, but we were able to print checks, and that was our main goal. So. Other than that, we are doing the MyDeck. We went live with MyDeck on the 2nd and have not had any problems with that. So we're continuing to make improvements to the office, get information out to the public. So, but if anybody has any questions,
can you explain what that means, the MyDeck?
MyDeck is electronically putting in P-tax forms, which is the revenue that goes to the state of Illinois when property transactions occur. So we're taking out, printing out paper revenue stamps, and it's just actually is a nicer way to do it, less errors.
It's a real important upgrade, I think.
Thank you.
Coming from that side of of things, it's everybody is kind of switching over to it, or I'd like to see everybody switch over to it, and I think we're a little bit ahead of the curve. Thank you for that.
Right, and it goes, hopefully we can get it to work really well with the e-recordings of the deeds, too. Less paperwork, the turnaround time is a little bit faster.
Cool, very good. Treasurer, sorry to be able to share a call, so I'm sure if you're going to make it. Clerk of the court, state's attorney.
Mr. Weiss is in the middle of a jury trial, so he apologized for not being able to make it here today, but he wanted me to wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Aww. Corner. Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. So my report should be in your packet. I'm not going to go through and read it all to you. Merry Christmas. However, I do have our annual report that just got published onto our website yesterday. So. We ended the year 311 total deaths, which is 2 over from what we had last year. So part of when I'm making my report every month and when I make the annual report, some of it is information that's required for us to report on as part of the accreditation process that we're going through. But I did just want to say, if there is anything in particular you're looking for that you want monthly reported on, either monthly or annually, just let me know or communicate that through Mr. Giles, and I'm sure that can get back to me, and we can. I'm happy to report on whatever it is that you actually want to know about. So, but other than that, we're just starting our new year now.
Questions for the forum? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Health Department.
Good morning. I just wanted to announce that the Health Department just wrapped up its Share Your Blessings program. This is an annual program that we do. We serve between 200 and 300 individuals in across Kendall County. It involves providing food sometimes, but mostly Christmas gifts and necessary household items to families. These are a matching sponsor program, and so this is supported by civic organizations throughout the community, schools, many individuals, and we just really appreciate all that generosity. So the families have just finished coming in and picking up their gifts and household items, so I want to just thank our community for supporting that. And that's all. Thank you.
Supervisor of Assessment.
Good morning. Board review is keeping us pretty busy upstairs. We should be done with actual hearings by January 8th. So, and then it'll just be anybody who requested not to appear at the board will have to go through. Touching on the MyDEC thing, that actually helps my office a lot, because in the state's infinite wisdom, they've got all the counties entering that information into their system. So by having it come up electronically, there's less steps that we don't have to actually recreate the paper form, so that will actually help my office as well. So other than that, Merry Christmas, and if you got any questions. All right.
They're so easy.
There is a need for executive session. Do we want to do that? It should only take 5 to 10 minutes. Do you want to do it now, or do you want to push it until the end? Until the end. Okay, move that down to 18. Ask a question from the Standing committee reports. Highway may have a motion to approve a low bid from PT Farrell Construction Inc. in the amount of $1,929,469.93 to improve Grove Road near Van Dyke Road, including replacement of structure 0473016. Said funds to be taken from the transportation sales tax fund.
So moved.
Second by Hannah, seconded by Flowers. Fran, do you want to talk about what it means?
Morning.
Good morning.
I do. It's Christmas. I'm sorry, what was the question? Was there a question?
Why are we spending this money?
I'd like to drop $3 million on a road.
Right. The main purpose is to replace a bridge on Grove Road. So that bridge is legal load only. We can't issue any permit loads. But while we're replacing the bridge, we're also going to raise Grove Road up significantly, the elevation, because that road, every time we get even a moderate rainfall, tends to flood. Mm-hmm. And that is also one of our key north-south routes now. So we thought it would be really important to get that up and dry and keep that open whenever we get a rain. So this project will replace a bridge, replace and reconstruct about a half a mile of road, and also install a new concrete box culvert under Van Dyke Road. So doing all of those things is why the cost is so high. The project came in right at barely under the engineer's estimate, about a half a percent below estimate. So we got good competitive bids, 6 bids, so I'd recommend approval of it.
Is this the area that flooded earlier this year with a car washed off?
Yeah, it is. We had 3 cars stuck in the water, and one of them actually floated away, and the guy had to crawl out of his Hyundai and climb onto the roof and get rescued by a boat. So that's a problem.
Yeah, pretty important upgrade here.
For sure.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. Next, may I have a motion to approve preliminary engineering services agreement between Kendall County and HR Green in the amount of $1,199,526.07 for Phase 2 engineering of the Collins Road extension. Said funds to be taken from the transportation sales tax fund.
Second.
I'll make that motion, I guess. One second, Gilmore. And Fran, do you want to talk about that?
I can. This is our kind of a critical link between Grove Road and Orchard Road, and this agreement is for Phase 2 engineering. So this will actually design the project, prepare plans and specifications, and get it to a letting. So we expect that effort to take about 2 more years, and should go to a letting in 2022 or somewhere in that neighborhood.
That's great. Roll call.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
All ayes, thank you. Next, I'll make a motion to approve Kendall County Long Range Transportation Plan 2019 to 2039.
Second.
Seconded by Prochaska. This is our 20-year plan and is updated primarily for the Alamein Road and Collins Road project. Is that accurate, Fran? Anything else that you want to hit?
Yeah, I mean, we have to do an annual update to the long-range plan because we have a transportation sales tax. It's a legal requirement. So we do this annual update every year. And this update now includes funding for the Alamein project, for the Collins Road project, but any other updates that the committee has reviewed over the past couple of months, this is included now in our long-range plan.
Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All right, all ayes, thank you. Last, I'll make a motion to approve the Kendall County 5-year Surface Transportation Plan 2020 to 2024, revised 12/17/19.
Seconded
by Kellogg. Fran? 5-year plan.
5-year plan, similar to the long-range plan, of course, but only 5 years. The short version, you already approved this for 2019 back in August, but because we just were notified of the funding for Alamein and Collins, we did a second update on that 5-year to more accurately reflect what's really going on. So you've done that twice this year, but we thought it was important to actually have the board approve it again. So we're back for the second version here, and that's why it's before you today.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you. Admin HR, Ms. Flowers?
I need a motion to approve the Kendall County Drug and Alcohol Use Abuse Policy for Kendall County Employee Handbook.
So moved.
Second. And motion by Gilmore, second by Prochaska.
And we've been going over this, so this is just the most recent update. So. Scott, did you have anything else you want to add?
It's an update, a lot of it in large part because of the cannabis law. We started with a draft from the state's attorney's office, made some changes to fit for the county, and went through a few meetings at HR Admin, and Mira's also here if there's specific questions for you.
One thing, Mira, Mira did a lot of work on this, and I want to thank her for doing a lot of legwork.
Roll call.
Ms.
Hendricks.
I just have a question, and it's just kind of a technicality one. On page 116, item 4, are we requiring employees who have prescriptions for, say, opioids or any other drugs that might impair their performance if they were actively taking them during the day, are they having to register their use of that or their prescription of that with us?
Mr. Kepel? Or Mira?
Can you come up, Mira, real quick?
Come up.
Okay, question?
I see that we're requiring employees I agree with that we shouldn't allow them to use and store medical cannabis because it's quite odoriferous, right? But I'm curious about requiring them to register as someone who's been prescribed medical cannabis or as a caregiver. Are we requiring that for any other prescription drugs?
No.
Then I move to strike it.
Why?
Because it's, well, we either add all prescription drugs that could have potential to impair someone's performance, or we have none. I mean, it seems
so
sort of...
By Anderson.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Sutter. Any discussion on the motion to strike item 4? C4.
What's in letter B4? It talks 4B. About prescription 4B. 4B. Talks about notifying of prescription drugs, valid prescription, and goes right through it.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Does it have that for any other prescriptions
under
other than
seven.
Cannabis?
Under number 7?
Or just says a prescription?
Yeah, 7 says any alcohol under drug that could affect.
Right, but they're not required to register. I guess what I'm getting at is that's sort of private. Like, I wouldn't want my employer to know necessarily all the things that I've been prescribed for any number of reasons. Like, maybe I'm on an antidepressant or something for bipolar disorder or any number of conditions. So if we're not requiring, it's just sort of invasive, I think. I think the zero tolerance policy is enough. And if we're not going to treat all prescription drugs with potential to be psychoactive, then we shouldn't do just this one.
It says in 7 that they need to, that... It's the employee's responsibility to promptly inform in writing, if possible, Kendall County, the employee's immediate supervisor, if the employee is taking over-the-counter medication and or lawfully prescribed medication that may affect the employee's ability to safely and effectively perform their job duties.
So
it
why
does
do we
include
need number
several
4?
Other drugs.
Then number 4 is redundant.
I think number 4 protects the employee because it says it won't penalize an employee or applicant solely for his or her status as registered or for qualifying patient under the medical compassionate use of medical cannabis pilot program. Am I reading that?
I can answer it easily if it helps.
Yeah.
So under the compassionate use of medical cannabis pilot program act, you're required to have a specific, like, its own separate section in the policy specifically dealing with medical marijuana. It's different from other types of prescription medications. So that's why it's in there different from other types of prescription medications. It's not duplicative. It's just something that employers should be doing under the compassionate use of medical marijuana.
The not penalizing them? But the requirement to register, is that a part of law?
If we're only requiring them to notify us if it's adversely, if their consumption of the medical marijuana would adversely affect their ability to perform their job duties.
But they're required
to do that.
From
a legal standpoint, I would recommend that you have that in there because we don't want our employees driving vehicles or working with heavy equipment if they know that they're on some type of medication that would impair their ability to do their job.
But we already have that requirement. Why are we singling out marijuana?
We aren't.
But we are. The employee shall promptly notify Kendall County and the employee's immediate supervisor if the employee is a registered qualifying patient or a caregiver. That's singling them out. So if you want to do it for all prescription drugs that might affect your ability to operate a machinery, I'm all for it. But you can't do it for just this one.
It's simple.
It's in number 7 as well. I think number 4 actually protects the employee.
I don't think we need to specifically.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it protects the employee. So I'm okay with that.
I think the law protects the employee, right?
Would you like to withdraw your second?
Well, I second it so we have the discussion. Does it
mean and I made the motion so we could have
the
discussion.
Motion and second. I guess we'll vote on that.
I'm okay with keeping it.
To strike item.
Can I ask one more question before
sure.
we vote?
No.
C4.
Am I too late?
No, you can ask.
Assistant State's Attorney Johnson said that there's part of that has to be in there. So are there things in 4 that don't need to be in there by the stat, by law? Or
no.
That's just the way it needs to be in there?
Yeah, it should be its own separate section of the drug testing policy, separate and apart from other types of lawful prescription medications, just because it's involving a different act. So in answer to your question, it should be in there.
Okay.
So the motion is to strike item C for the drug and alcohol use abuse policy.
Mr. Greider?
No.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Think about it.
I know.
Mr. Kellogg?
No.
Mr. Prochaska?
No.
Ms. Vickers?
No.
Ms. Sesich?
No.
Ms. Flowers?
No.
Mr. Gangler?
No.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
One aye, nine nay.
The motion fails. One aye, nine nays. Next, could I have a roll call on the policy?
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Nice.
Thank you. 9-1. Policy passes. Next, may I have a motion to approve Kendall County reimbursement policy for Kendall County employee handbook.
So moved.
Oh, go ahead.
Whoops.
Second.
By Gilmore. Discussion on this one, please.
This is just something we are, you know, kind of cleaning up and going over. So.
Yeah, we went over it at the committee in August. And we want to do all the handbook changes at once because we have to get signatures from the employees that they've reviewed, received the updated handbook. This was brought to us by the state's attorney's office because of a change in legislation. So we want to make sure that we're following that and reimbursing when possible. And also, if you don't have a policy, it gets a little questionable because you have to, the policy states that you must ask for it ahead of time. So we need to have the policy in place so we can properly reimburse our employees for their expenses that are work related.
Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Ms. Hullies, Mr. Kellogg.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to approve a Dewberry Engineering contract dated 10-22-19 for board renovations, the amount not to exceed $49,000.
Second.
My colleague, seconded by Hertz.
And I will add that it's more than board renovations in the title. It also includes the key card security upgrades for the doors access. And then I did get a question about when we upgrade the sound system in here, what we're going to do with the old one. The old sound system from this room is planned to be moved over to the historic courthouse to an area so that we can hold meetings over there initially while this room is being rebuilt. And also secondary, it'll be there for other public meetings that might need to record, or if for some reason this room becomes unavailable, we have a backup. So I was asked that question, and it's a good question, but we're going to use the system.
Great.
They,
sorry.
I just wanted to point out for the press that's here in the public that how long has it been since this room?
Nobody can tell us.
Right, it's extremely old, right?
Yeah.
I, somewhere in my drawer over there, I have a picture of this room, exact same furniture. Only thing that has changed is the chair since from 1964.
And the skirt. 1964. So I just wanted to make the public aware that it's been a long time coming, and we really desperately need new desks and a new sound system, please.
The biggest upgrade is audio visual. Adding television screens, monitors, so that hopefully we can reduce some of the paper load that we have on our desks, especially PBZ, Planning Commission, some of the other groups that meet in this room. To be able to put an image up on the screen and have somebody, you know, manipulate it from their desk and show what they're talking about and explain it to the public, I think is essential. We get too many, paper copies that we're trying to hold up and show to us and to the public, and they're not big enough for the public to see, they're not big enough for us to see.
it's just a hot mess, honestly.
Yeah. It's time.
Very antiquated.
We're going to take care of that. And with Dewberry, I know Mr. Keppel's been involved with a lot of projects with them, with the Public Safety Center. They did a great job there. And the audiovisual is the most expensive part of the component, and the security. And those are two things that they're, you know, specialize in. Is some other engineering firms were going to have us house or take that out of house and hire a secondary group to do it, and that didn't sit well with the committee to, you know, farm out that portion of it, which was the most important. So
yeah,
that's what it is.
So the county board will be meeting in the old courthouse for how long do you think that will be, and when do you think it will be?
Jim?
Yeah.
What do you think, Jim? Give us an estimate so we can stay under it.
I would say
2 years.
It'll take a while for it to get all designed and everything, but once it starts, presuming that it's mostly hired out, you know, contractors doing the work, I would hope to say 6 months.
Judy wants 3 months.
Remember what Matt said.
Yeah, how long?
How long? I think we can get done in 6 to 12 weeks.
All right, anything else? Oh, roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Hussich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. Much needed update.
And an area to do pictures has snow recycling lines behind it.
Yes. Yeah, that would be nice.
It's a liminal messaging that people recycle.
Could have a backdrop out there.
Special committee reports.
No.
Yep.
Got PBZ.
Oh, yeah, PBZ. Anxiously awaiting.
No.
Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of petition 1921, request from the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee for amendments to the Kendall County Land Cash Ordinance by updating school enrollment figures, fair market value calculation, acreage donation, and related tables.
Motion by Prochaska.
Second.
Seconded by Kellogg. Do you want to speak, or do you want Mr. Ossemeyer to?
Yeah, what page is this on?
I'll have Mr. Ossemeyer speak, and in the packet, it starts on page 92.
Yes, excuse me. This proposal updates the land cash ordinance, which was last updated in 2014. It increases the, it lowers the fair market value to $47,121, and then the in the packets listed what each two-bedroom, three-bedroom, four-bedroom, and five-bedroom would pay if the proposal was approved.
Ms. Johnson, I think at the last meeting about this, there was discussion about whether the way it was calculated at the time was done in a legal manner. Are you able to talk about that at all?
I know ASA Jim Webb provided you all with a written legal opinion on that issue on November 27th. And in response to the question, the ordinance that you had, he had looked at, and it does set forth a process whereby the county board gives the developer a meaningful ability to challenge the fair market value. So he had indicated that he thought that it would pass constitutional muster as to the fair market value for a specific project, so long as the developer has that recourse to be able to object or challenge the fair market value.
Any questions, Mr. Jessica?
Mr. Ossemeyer, in the memo, it says that the current value of an improved acre in Kendall County is, what is it, 72,680?
Yes.
How is that? Do you recall how that was determined?
There is a procedure that's in the existing ordinance that takes the value of farmland, improved farmland, the value of improved homesteads, and then divides that out over a 3-year period by the amount of acreage that's there. It's a little bit cumbersome to get some of those numbers, according to the assessor's office and the GIS department. Some of those numbers are point-in-time things where if you miss them, you don't have an opportunity to recalculate them. So that's why it took 3 years to get a proposal, because when this was originally brought to the PBZ committee, it was using the calculation that was in the existing ordinance, not what is proposed in this ordinance.
How many homes a year does this affect in Kendall County?
Normally we had like 24 to 22 houses built. I don't recall the number in the last fiscal year of how many permits, but it's in the upper teens, if I remember correctly, like 19 or 20.
Going back to the PBZ meeting from earlier in, what was it, November? We did discuss breaking it out by school district. The reason being that we did not choose to break it out by school district is that there is no sales occurring in the portions of Kendall County for Plainfield, Lisbon, and Minooka. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So, I think when we talked about this at Cal, back in November, we were talking about the current homes that it actually affects, which was not very many, because we're talking about unincorporated areas, correct? So, you know, when we see people come from the school district that talk about it, saying that this would really adversely affect, the amounts that go towards the school, especially in 308, because as we've seen in the news lately, there's, an issue with budgeting and now it's going back to referendum and things like that. So if there was a large subdivision or, anything that was going to come in into the unincorporated areas, it would affect them hugely, don't you think, if it's going to go down by this much?
It would impact them, and a school district could request that a subdivision of any size be annexed into a municipality, and then that municipality's land cash ordinance would apply to that development.
So do you think that if we lowered it by, I think it's a pretty significant amount. I mean, we're going to 47,000. That I guess the municipalities could then start looking at that and lowering as well, or would this sort of set the trend or precedent on that?
Well, in the case of a municipality, an improved acre in a municipality is going to be almost every piece of property in that municipality. In the unincorporated area, there's large amounts of farmland that are not improved. They don't have any utilities or anything like that going to it. Yeah. And so that's what makes it difficult to do a direct apples-to-apples comparison, because in a municipality, everything is basically developable.
Sure. I just think, when we're looking at this now, Jim said that we were not illegal in the way we were processing this. It does not affect very many people now, but looking at it from the future standpoint, making sure we have that responsibility to, our schools and things like that. So, I'm leery about this only because we weren't required to do this, right? We weren't required to lower it or redo the calculations, correct? That it was just something that you guys decided to take a look at?
That's correct. The fair market value is stated in the ordinance, and that ordinance was adopted in 2014.
And so anybody that was probably going to build a home could then come back and to the board and ask for, I guess, the variance or whatever it required.
Right, if it was lowered, yeah.
Okay. So I guess that was, I think even at Cal, we had kind of said, like, why are we doing this? So thank you for answering those questions for me.
I did some math with the schools and the capacities, and we all know that I
have a passion.
I have a little bit of passion about Oswego 308 and the financial situation and the things that are happening there. But actually, this would impact Yorkville more because they are already at 86% capacity with the buildings they have now overall. Typically, I've been on the boundary committee twice in 308. So typically, when you get to that 85% is when you start looking at having to build new schools anyway. So they're already at that point. So if there was a large influx of, in unincorporated Yorkville School District, it would be a huge impact. So I think that because we don't know, we don't know when, a farmer may pass and his kids decide that they're going to sell the land to a developer and put in a big unincorporated subdivision. So if we're not going to do it by township or school district, I just think that we're really hurting our larger districts on the north end of the county. So,
yeah. I just had a couple questions. When was the last time that you said that we did this?
2014.
And then there's no rhyme or reason as to how often we have to do it, correct?
No, it's just that the ordinance sets out the actual fair market value as, I believe, April 15, 2014.
And then I was wondering, because so we mentioned a municipality could just absorb a really large subdivision, but they would have to be connected to that parcel. That I believe they have to be at least across the street as the maximum. Like the village on the street and the boundaries on one, on the east side and the one on the west side, you could annex that in because of the village on that street.
Correct. And the village,
some type of connection, right?
Right. And the village could, if it was a larger subdivision, that property owner would probably have to rezone it from agriculture to something else, and if it's in the village's or a municipality's mile and a half radius, the municipality could formally object to that rezoning and basically prevent that development from occurring.
Right. And then, but we would, but there could be a large subdivision go up in the county and not be adjacent to any municipality, and no municipality would be able to, unless, you know, they extended their reign there, that they would be able to absorb that in, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
I had a question to refresh my memory. We've been discussing this at PBZ for a year, or feels like.
Close to it.
The old formula, if I remember correctly, included for the land value included incorporated improved lots, and our new one is only the unincorporated improved lots?
No. The new one is both incorporated and unincorporated, and the old one was also both.
Both, even though we would only be approving things in the unincorporated.
Correct.
So I think the number's already skewed high, in my opinion, on the unincorporated if we're including the incorporated ones that are developed. So I don't have a problem lowering it, knowing that the formula is a little bit flawed using numbers that are inflated because of the district there or the municipality that we're pulling the data from.
Mr. Prochaska.
I have two questions, one for Mr. Ossmeyer and also one for our supervisor of assessments. The one for Mr. Ossmeyer is that, is there a best practice on how often you should keep the land cache up to date?
Well, generally you want to look at the land cache ordinance every 3 to 5 years. Several of our neighboring counties don't actually have a stated value. They just have a calculation. And so, like DuPage County, I believe it is, hasn't updated there since 1997, but they just have the calculation in their ordinance. They don't actually have a number.
Oh.
Could
we do that?
We could. We did not discuss that, but that is something we'd be more than happy to discuss. And my question for the supervisor assessments is, how did you come up with the 47,121?
It's the 3-year weighted average of all of the sales that occurred each year. So I took the average of 2016, the average of 2017, and the average of 2018, and averaged those to come up with the weighted average.
So for an improved lot, your typical improved lot in Kendall County is, would you say just at an acre, just under an acre?
Most of it's under an acre, because a lot of the sales that I have are in the city limits. I had a few that were outside that are unincorporated, but those still are you know, right about 3/4 to an acre, somewhere in that area. Just kind of looking at my sheet real quick that I conveniently got on the break. So,
is there any acres of land that is in incorporated or unincorporated Kendall County that is currently getting roughly $72,000 per acre?
Well, let's see. Looking real quick. I apologize. I'm just kind of looking at this real quick.
While you look
running
at
through
this,
here.
It's not a question, but I've been against this from the beginning when we started talking about it in the PBZ committee. I don't feel it's necessary to do this, even though, you know, we've had some opinions from Mr. Ossmeyer. But primarily, it's the school districts in this county that will take a hit. And we don't know, of course, how big of a hit that would be, because we don't know in the future, like Ms. Bicker said, whenever there's going to be a new subdivision. I don't like to set the precedent of of lowering this amount of money, because I know it's the school districts that take a hit. It's primarily our bigger districts, Yorkville and Oswego, but all of the school districts, no matter how small they are, I think we have to consider what it would do to those school districts. And there's a reason why we have this land cash donation. And it's, I don't support this. So
to answer Mr. Prochaska's question quickly, I've got one sale that was actually at 1 acre, actually 1.04 acres, mm-hmm. and it did sell for $72,115 an acre. All the rest of the things that I have here are smaller, so it will indicate that there may be others that sold for that, but they're smaller.
What township was that in?
That particular one, 0235, is probably either Oswego or, well, it's a Bristol number, but it's either Oswego or Kendall. And it's either in Rose Hill or Barm Colony, one of those over there.
So that would have been a huge hit.
So we never fail to hear complaints about how high taxes are, and we never stop explaining that we're not the ones billing you for the schools. That would be the state. And we're one of the fastest growing counties around. And we're already at capacity. So I think logically it would be kind of irresponsible to pass this. Now, I would like to hear about the formula. I would really like for the PBZ committee to run that formula program by us. That may be the most fair and equitable way to do it and ensure that we continue to get the funding we need for new schools. I'm personally living what it's like to send your kid to a school that's at capacity, and it ain't fun. So I am not in favor of this measure.
Thank you. And I know there are a couple of representatives from school districts that are here. Do either any of you want to say anything to this, or are you okay with?
I mean, I can speak again.
You'd like to?
Yeah.
I know you came to our last meeting.
Yeah, Lisa Banovitz, Director of Business Services from Yorkville School District. So I mirror what the ladies are saying. It would hurt the school districts, no doubt. It's going to cost the same amount to build a school in Yorkville as it would in Oswego, and I just think it would be a shame to take money away from the schools. And if it's not something that's necessary, I'm not sure what – I mean, I understand there's a responsibility to the taxpayers to take a look at this, but it really would hurt the school districts. So – I mirror what Christy said earlier, so we would hate to see this pass.
And I just want to first thank you for all the questions. That's helpful, and reiterate that the impact on the school district, we don't know what that will be because we don't know what growth is coming our way. Thank you.
Yeah, I am in favor of this, if for no other reason than if we just left it status quo, knowing that the average property cost for in the county is $47,000. We're keeping it artificially high. We're keeping the tax artificially high by having it at $72,680. And to me, we know it's lower. So I would ask for an aye vote because we know the value of an improved lot is lower. We looked at breaking it out by school districts. We discussed townships, but the reason we decided not to go with breaking it out by townships is the same issue that we would have had with some of the school districts, that there is no value of an improved, we couldn't get an average value in some of our townships. So the only logical way then, if we can't find the value, is to do it countywide. The current estimate that we got from our supervisor of assessments is 47,121, which is what we know. And if we keep it status quo, the 72,680 is artificially high, and we're keeping it artificially high on purpose.
Senator.
But there is a provision for that to be disputed and possibly lowered. And as long as they have that provision, I'm comfortable with that. Because the opposite of that is cutting the school districts off at the knees. So if somebody does want a lesser amount, then they're free to come to us and explain why we should give that to them. But I don't think that should be our out of the gate answer. It's easier to go low, it's much harder to go high.
Mr. Hosmer, you may know. When was the last time that this fee has been challenged? Or has been challenged recently? Or
I'm not aware of it ever being challenged.
So it's not like developers are coming to you and saying, you know, these fees seem like they're outrageous, or they're way higher than they should be, and that, you know, some justice needs to be enacted here. In your opinion?
Nobody's, I mean, they complain, but nobody's ever...
No one's ever petitioned.
Yeah, no one's ever petitioned to challenge it.
Do we inform them of their ability to challenge?
Well, since I've been here, we've now had a subdivision come through. When we've had the one-off lots that have done it, no one's ever really, they've complained about it, but they haven't really challenged it.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
No.
Ms. Sessage?
No.
Ms. Flowers?
No.
Mr. Gangler?
No.
Mr. Giles?
No.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Greider?
No.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
2 ayes, 8 nays.
Motion fails, 2-8. Thank you. All right, so the special committee reports, or is there anything else in PPZ?
Nope.
Special committee reports, Chad, are you
here?
Received the Veterans Assistance Commission report, annual report, and I thought it'd be great if Chad would talk to us about that and what all the good things they're doing over there.
Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. First off, I'd like to thank you all for hearing me out back in September at the budget hearing, and then subsequently approving my levy earlier this morning. This continued cooperation is going to allow more veterans and their families to be reached by our outreach efforts. Even though this year's levy is slightly decreased from last year, we are still well-armed to head into 2020. Just with the open claims we have currently, we are on track to match this past year's performance, and we are 3 weeks into the fiscal year, I think. So we're looking forward to really great things this year. My governor's report, I'm assuming you all have a copy. I submitted it to the chairman on the 4th. The assistance I'm going to outline is not all-inclusive. So the numbers I'm giving you now are slightly increased from September, obviously because it's December now. New monies received by veterans and widows through increases in disability ratings and retroactive payments for new disability claims sits at just over $1.586 million, just for FY19. At close of business on November 30th, veterans and survivors were collecting just over $14.2 million a year. That equates to a 33% increase from FY18. Total monies brought into the county during FY18 by veterans and survivors. I'm sorry, I got mixed up on my notes there. Equates to $42.67 per tax dollar levied to the VAC. So again, thank you very much for giving us that levy. Veterans assistance through shelter, utility, food, and emergency payments. This past year was given in the amount of $37,552. Those are for veterans who qualify. They fall below the poverty level, and they meet the requirements for that program. Numerous veterans were also helped save countless dollars by enrolling in the VA healthcare system. Many veterans have saved more countless dollars by switching adjusting their Medicare plans due to our new Carolyn Clevenger joined our team early last year. She maintains her SHIP counselor status. She's able to counsel folks on Medicare. And it's been a godsend, really. Medicare and VA healthcare are two very convoluted, complicated systems, and having her be able to navigate those has been invaluable. Many veterans just switch to the VA for their prescriptions only, so pretty much that's a low to no cost Plan D for them. Over 40 veterans this past year have become gainfully employed here in the area due to our partnerships with the local businesses and the chambers of commerce. So how that works is we call it our employment e-blast. Veterans come to us looking for work. We get their qualifications, perhaps a resume. At the same time, local businesses and through the chambers or on their own come to us, say they're looking to hire this or this or that. They would prefer to hire a veteran. We arrange the meeting pretty much, and it's been a very successful program so far. This astounding growth over the past 2 or 3 years in my office would not have been possible without my team. Quick mention: Carolyn Clevenger and William Sutton. They both regularly go above and beyond in serving the county veterans, and I'm looking forward to a great 2020. Are there any questions for me?
Thank you. Well, I want to commend you and Carolyn and Will as well. I know that you guys are doing a great job. You know, and that's something I hear about frequently around the county is how they didn't, you know, veterans often don't realize the benefits that they're eligible for. And you've done a great job of raising that awareness over the last, over your tenure. And has it been, what, 4 or 5 years now you've been over there?
I'm going on six.
6 years now.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. And just to clarify then, when you say that the return to the community of $42.67 for every dollar of property tax revenue, is that the $42.67 back is based on what the Department of Veteran Affairs is sending to Campbell County?
That's correct. That $14.2 million plus that $1.586 from last year divided by our last year's levy. That was the math.
Chad, I just want to thank you for the service that you do to the veterans and their families. It's really appreciated, and also you're fiscally responsible, and we appreciate that too as a board, but just continue your good work over there.
Well, it's a real pleasure. Thank you.
For any families that might not be aware that we have the Veterans Assistance Commission, I would really appreciate it if the press would include some information on how to get a hold of them and their hours, basically their contact information, so that if there's people out there that need your services and aren't aware, they at least have the information coming at them from one more source.
Most definitely.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate you coming out and sitting through a long meeting. Any other business? Chairman's report. I don't have anything more right now. Happy holidays to everybody. public comment? Questions from the press?
No questions except the media table.
Actually, I second that request.
return of our media table.
We had a media table.
Len Cooley took away from us.
He's not the engineering plane, sorry.
The we can make a media table.
Right in front, front and center.
Facing that way.
Motion to go into executive session for the purpose of.
Number two, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
Second.
That'd be a first.
Second.
Motion by Henry, second by
I thought you were motioning. Sorry.
I can't.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Petraska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes. Cookies, candies.
The media table.